From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. One of the most exciting things in today's economy, at least to me, is people asking and investigating a simple question. Why is this thing sold the way that it is? I love this because, well, for one, I'm always curious about the answer, but also because asking this question reveals all sorts of opportunities for startups to disrupt old industries full of entrenched major players. For example, razors. Companies like Harry's and Dollar Shave Club began questioning why razors are so absurdly expensive and kept behind lock and key at, you know, your local CVS. And the answer, in part, is because major razor companies pour billions of dollars into innovating something that, frankly, doesn't really need to be innovated, and then they pass that cost along to the consumer in the form of needlessly complicated products that are so small and high cost that they're prone to shoplifting. And if you cut all that out and cut out the retailer, frankly, you've got yourself a direct-to-consumer product that's cheap and easy to access. And that's also what's behind a company like Casper, the mattress company. Why are mattresses so expensive? In part because there's this large network of giant showrooms, which cost a lot of money to operate, and also because mattress companies have decided that to attract customers, they're going to create a bazillion different mattresses that most consumers probably can't tell the difference between. So Casper makes one mattress and sells it exclusively online and designs it to roll up in a deliverable box, and it's simple, effective, and appealing. And this process repeats itself over and over as entrepreneurs discover new opportunities to build better, more customer-friendly versions of products. But here's the thing. If you pursue this path, take a word of warning from Stephen Kuhl, because he just embarked upon a journey quite like this, and he discovered that there may be lots of opportunities, but it is not easy making the most of it.
There's no roadmap for this stuff. And that's what, one of the things we learned is if your business is going to be unique, you can't just like ask other people how to do it and they'll help you out. You've kind of just got to learn on the fly.
Stephen co-founded a startup called Burrow, which is a little like Casper, but for couches. They make one sofa that you can modify in only a few ways. One-seater, two-seater, three-seater with high or low arms, and that's it. They sell only direct to consumer. Their goal is to deliver within a week of the order, and they innovated its design so that it easily ships in boxes and can be assembled at home in 10 minutes without any tools. And they got into this business by asking some basic questions about sofas, like, why are sofas so expensive? And why do you have to wait weeks and sometimes months to actually get your sofa after you buy it? And why are they always delivered by, you know, like a bunch of movers and in one complete piece? Answering these questions led Stephen and his co-founder Kabir into a world of manufacturing that they were totally unfamiliar with. And so today, we're going to dive into the many, many ways that it went wrong, how they fixed it, and what lessons they learned along the way. So, to start, where did this idea come from? It began almost immediately after they arrived at Wharton.
When we moved to business school, moved to Philadelphia, had to buy furniture. And couches in particular were the biggest pain point for us. I had gone to IKEA and, you know, had to rent a truck and drive there. And then I spent over $600 on something that took me 2.5 hours to put together with an Allen wrench. And they make you upholster it with Velcro yourself. And it's just a miserable experience.
Kabir, meanwhile, wanted something a little nicer, so he found a high-end retailer that was having a sale and picked out a couch for $1,200, and the company said that it would take 12 weeks to ship. 12 weeks? Like, what is this thing being handmade by elves? Ridiculous. So the guys start thinking, there has got to be a better way to do this kind of business, which of course means they first need to understand why the process is so terrible to begin with. And I'll be honest, every time I buy a piece of furniture, I wonder the exact same thing.
The answer is that while there are many different furniture manufacturers around the world, most furniture in the United States, at least, gets made at a handful of factories in North Carolina and Mississippi. And when you place your order, it goes into a queue behind many, many, many other orders from a number of different retailers that go to the same factory. And you have to wait several weeks for your couch to even start getting made. And then once it is made, it takes several weeks to ship it from their factory to a warehouse, and then another couple of weeks from the warehouse to the local retail store, and then they ship it to you. And that's kind of their process.
And this is also a window into how furniture becomes so expensive. A $2,500 high-end couch might cost only $500 to manufacture, Stephen says, but then each leg of that journey from factory to warehouse to retailer to home can add a few $100, and then you've got to add in the retailer's margin and the sales team's commission, and soon enough, you've just got a ton of cost added onto this thing. And retailers could cut out some of those costs and mail furniture directly to consumers, but they're afraid to. Stephen found something of an IKEA effect. Furniture makers fear that if they mail their products and ask customers to construct it at home themselves, people will equate the product with IKEA and think of it as a cheap and disposable thing. So the industry has decided the only way to maintain a company's high-end image is to deliver its product in one piece. But Stephen hears all that and thinks, you know, as long as you have a high-quality product that people will genuinely appreciate, the rest of this stuff is totally surmountable. It's just that nobody's doing it.
I think branding is a big part of that. And so we believed early on that you have to communicate to people with your customers differently than traditional furniture manufacturers. And if you can communicate an aspirational high-end brand that's still kind of fun and speaks to people, and you can engage with them that way. And that's part of it. And then we just have to do a lot of education on our website and in our marketing materials to communicate that quality to people. And then as reviews come in, you know, that helps too. There's just a number of different touch points that you have to hit across and build that trust over time to where people say, like, yeah, this thing is great. It is high quality. It's nothing like IKEA.
In April of 2016, Stephen and Kabir decide to go for it. They approach those furniture manufacturers in America, the ones every other high-quality retailer is using, the ones with those big backlogs of product orders, and they pitch their idea. They want to make a simple, quality couch and mail it to people.
And everyone in the U.S. pretty much told us to get lost. They're like, you guys have never made or sold furniture before. You don't understand. No one's going to buy this. People will only buy high-quality stuff if it's fully assembled already.
We'll get deeper into the story after this break. My wife and I recently got a book deal. So, yay, exciting. But then the contract came and I needed to print 4 copies of the last page and have us both sign them and then mail it to our agent. And we don't have a printer at home and the nearest mailbox is 4 blocks away. And seriously, this whole thing took a week. I just kept thinking, there has got to be a better way to do this. And there is. SignEasy is an easy-to-use, simple, and legal way to digitally sign documents. You can sign them yourself from anywhere and on any device, or send documents to customers, partners, or colleagues for signing, and even track the progress of documents and get notified when one is signed. Or, let's face it, if you were my agent wondering, where is this contract already? You could have used SignEasy to send me a reminder. Please, 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 let us all agree to stop fussing with documents you have to print and sign and put in a mailbox. SignEasy is faster, easier, and safer. To get started for free, go to getsigneasy.com/podcast. Again, that's getsigneasy.com/podcast. And now onto our second sponsor. I was about to start recording this spot here for our new sponsor, ProsperWorks, but I wanted to know what someone who's used many CRMs thinks, because that's what ProsperWorks makes, a CRM. So I walked over to one of our sales guys, Jim, and I said, Jim, tell me what comes to mind when you hear the words CRM. And Jim sighs, and he says, they are so tedious. And to this, ProsperWorks says, we totally agree. ProsperWorks is a CRM company that knows CRMs are notoriously complicated and inefficient, but its software is the opposite. By integrating with tools you're already using and eliminating repetitive tasks with automation, ProsperWorks makes a beautiful, easy-to-use system that drives productivity to help you and your team sell more faster. Try ProsperWorks today for free using our link prosperworks.com/loveyourcrm. Again, prosperworks.com/loveyourcrm. Okay, let's get back to the story. But the guys are not deterred. Through a friend at school, they connect with a factory in Mexico City that was eager to work with them, and they began the prototyping process there. And then they got into Y Combinator in San Francisco, one of the country's top startup accelerators, and now they're regularly going back and forth from California to Mexico. And in July of 2016, they launch a pre-order site to prove that there's demand for their product, and they figure they'll just be able to start shipping things by October, because, I mean, hey, the design is nearly finished, the factory has all the fabrics and wood, and things seem like they're really moving along. And then
anything that could go wrong went wrong. We had suppliers that said, oh, actually, you know, we're going to be shipping like 2 months later. We had in the manufacturing side, because making our product was different than making like traditional, just like custom upholstered furniture, that took a lot longer to make. We had a box supplier cancel on us, like literally the day they were supposed to deliver over 1,000 boxes. They said, oh, we're going to deliver these a month and a half late.
Stuff like this just keeps happening. And this is especially frustrating because it means that he has to keep telling his customers about delays. Like, this didn't all happen at once where they knew the thing would be 3 months late. Instead, a delay would happen and Steven would have to tell his customers about it, and then another delay and another tell and another and another.
I think for us, the key was just being as communicative as possible with our customers and letting them know like exactly what was going on. And I hopped on the phone with a lot of people. And I think that kind of humanizes it, right? Like when you talk to a real person who's behind it and they're explaining the challenges that are going on, I think that helped a lot of customers. And we got a lot of really great feedback from people saying like, you know, don't worry about it, hang in there, really appreciate all the communication.
Burrow does eventually get all of its pre-ordered couches out, but the experience taught Steven something important about creating a supply chain and building a company. He says that you need to know what you can handle by brute force and what you simply can't. For example, brute force could fix some of his problems. When the box supplier canceled, he went to the factory himself and spent all night hand-making boxes. And when it was time to deliver the first couch, he was so concerned about it being screwed up that he literally checked the thing onto a plane himself, flew it to the US, got in an Uber, and delivered that couch to his customer.
And so there's certain things you can do with just brute force, but there's a lot of things you can't. And if a supplier tells you that there's a delay or an issue, you've kind of just got to deal with it. And so we got a lot better at managing our own expectations and just baking in a ton of excess, you know, room as a buffer for getting things delivered. And then also got in the habit of like checking in with our suppliers regularly, like just micromanaging the heck out of people. Like, hey, I know these are the raw materials that go into making, you know, these cushions. Like, do you have that? How much do you have in stock? How much of that is slated for us? When are you going to start production on that? And getting them to the point where, you know, they can tell you at every single step of the way, yes, we have that. Yes, we have that. And so that way there's no kind of like surprises down the road.
In fact, minimizing surprises is a big part of what they do now. They hired a mass production engineer who went to the factory with them and remapped out the entire process to make it more efficient and eliminate chances for error. And they learned the language of manufacturing, which is basically that nobody wants to tell you bad news until the very last second, which means that it is incumbent upon you, the entrepreneur, to be overseeing the manufacturing process. And they want to minimize surprises for their customers as well. So Burrow has redesigned its unboxing experience 3 times. Originally, IKEA style, they were just shipping parts to people and then, you know, expecting everyone to just dump stuff out on the ground and follow the instructions and make a couch. But then Burrow realized, hey, the unpacking of these boxes can actually be the start of the assembly process. So now customers are guided step by step, including which box to open first. After all of these changes, something pretty awesome happened. Burrow got some really nice press, and they sold a bunch of couches, and wouldn't you know it, they started getting calls from those American furniture manufacturers that rejected them only 1 year ago.
We've had a bunch that have reached back out and said, like, we're super interested now. We saw the spread in the New York Times, saw that you guys got pre-order traction, and you're selling these things. Like, we want to produce for you.
Remember now, those are the same manufacturers that the Crate and Barrels of the world are also using. So Burrow met with them and they liked what they saw. And then they approached the project with the rigor that they learned over the past year. And now Burrow is transitioning into being a Made in America product. And maybe you're thinking, like I did, hey, wait a minute. Aren't these factories part of the problem? There was that whole thing in the beginning about ordering a couch and then it goes to the back of the queue because all the furniture companies use the same few factories and so it takes forever and so on and so on. So how is Burrow suddenly strolling into these factories and achieving what it wants to do, which is very fast 1 week deliveries? The answer is pretty awesome, actually. It's all made possible by one of the reasons Burrow was originally rejected from these factories. That is to say, It's because they make their furniture to be shipped in parts.
And for us, because our stuff's in compact boxes, they can hold inventory pretty inexpensively because they can just stack the boxes on pallets.
Follow that? Let's say, and again, I'm just using this by example, let's say Crate and Barrel also uses that factory. So, okay, Crate and Barrel has a lot of different styles of couches and a lot of different fabric options, and they're all assembled right there in the factory, and that means it's basically impossible to make them ahead of time and just keep them in storage until someone buys them, because you would literally have thousands of couches just sitting around in a warehouse. But Burrow is different because it's such a simple product. It can be made ahead of time. Say, you know, stuff is made on Monday and then bought on Tuesday, and on Tuesday some stuff is made and that'll probably be bought on Wednesday, and so on. I mean, it's just the same thing over and over again. And because of that, and because it can all be stored in flat boxes, storing that stuff at the factory is easy. It's a pretty awesome validation of Steven and his co-founder's original idea. You know, they asked, why is furniture sold this way? Then they figured out the answer, and then they discovered the opportunity that was wide open for them. And they were right about that opportunity. I mean, sure, they weren't right about how to execute it, but nobody's right about that at first. The thing that matters is, when you have a great idea, you put the hustle in to make it happen, and you solve a million problems along the way. And then, at some point, yeah, you'll be proven right. And that's our show. Problem Solvers comes out every week, so to make sure that you don't miss an episode, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. If you love what we're doing, please also leave us a review. It totally helps us reach more people. That's our problem solving right here. And of course, there are a lot more stories like this one, along with practical advice on how to start and grow a business in Entrepreneur Magazine and on our website, entrepreneur.com. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Our producer is Nathan Latka. Again, my name is Jason Pfeiffer, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Let me know what you think about the show. You can find me on Twitter at @HeyPfeiffer, H-E-Y-F-E-I-F-E-R. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.